to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Hello, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Friday, September 20th, a little Friday night show. Saturday morning is probably when most of you will be listening to this. I do apologize about no tailgate talk this week with Patrick Surtain and Rhonda Gadsden. You know, they had some scheduling conflicts or traveling, and we just couldn't come up with a time to record. But we'll be back with the new tailgate talk next week. I wanted to do, you know, a show for the weekend here, because there's been so much to talk about concerning the Miami Dolphins the past 72 hours or so that we have to cover it and go over it. I guess let's start with Jalen Ramsey, I guess, because that's sort of the hot topic, although I'm not sure how much of a topic it is, but we got to touch on it. Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald reported on Friday morning that the Jacksonville Jaguars have contacted the Miami Dolphins about possibly trading Jalen Ramsey to them. The Jaguars have come out and said they want two first-round picks in return for Jalen Ramsey. You look around the league, what team has the most first-round picks? The Miami Dolphins. So, logical, just a logical call, I guess, for Jacksonville to make. Call the Miami Dolphins, see if they're interested. Beyond that, we don't know if Miami has any interest. They might have just took the phone call from Jacksonville, you know, and that's it. They have no interest. They could have told Jacksonville, no, we're not interested. Who knows? But if you're the Miami Dolphins, you have all the salary cap space next season. You have holes, you know, all over the field. Literally every position you have a need at. And you get someone like Jalen Ramsey where you can possibly make a move here to add him to your roster. I think you got to consider it. I'm not necessarily for it, but I think you have to consider it. And there's a few reasons why. Reason number one is, now, let me just start off by saying, if I'm the Dolphins, I am not parting with two first-round draft picks. Let's make that perfectly clear. The Jacksonville Jaguars might want that for Jalen Ramsey, but they're not going to get it. And if I'm the Miami Dolphins, they sure as hell wouldn't get it for me, because it's just not worth it for them. Clearly, they're going through a rebuilding year, and it's a little bit of a longer process here before they become competitive. And you're not going to part with a first-round, with two first-round picks. One first-round pick is one thing. Two is just asking too much. And part of the reason why it's asking too much is Jalen Ramsey is only under contract for the rest of this season and all of 2020. After that, he's a free agent. So if you're the Miami Dolphins, you can't part with two first-round picks for a guy who, you know, this season, let's be honest, is a lost season, counts for nothing, means nothing, you're non-competitive. You're not going to part with two first-round picks for essentially a guy who's going to be here like a year and a half. You can't do that. So it's too much. Now, and I've heard people compare this to Jadeveon Clowney. Why would Ramsey want to come here? Just like Clowney, he'll say no. It's two different situations. Clowney had a say in the matter because Houston couldn't trade him until he signed his franchise tender. And so Clowney had a say in where he was going. Otherwise, he wasn't going to sign the tender. Ramsey's got no say. Jacksonville can send him anywhere right now, and Ramsey can't do nothing about it. So it's two different situations, number one. But I think if you're the Dolphins, number one, if you're going to trade for Ramsey, you better get permission to talk to him and his agent first and make sure he's willing to sign a long-term extension. Otherwise, you're not going to part with a first-round pick for the guy, even one first-round pick. You're not parting with the guy for a year and a half when even the half a year is just a waste, really. So that's number one. Number two, though, if I'm the Dolphins, here's why you do consider it. You know, right now, if you look at this Miami Dolphins roster, they really have, I guess you would call, one superstar player, and that's Xavien Howard. That's it. And next offseason, yeah, you got a bunch of draft picks. You got all this money to spend in free agency. But trying to recruit, you know, other players to come to Miami and play is going to be a challenge. We've said before, just because you got the money to spend, you know, who wants to come into a team that's probably going to come off at either 0-16, 1-15, 2-14 type year to come play down here? Yeah, you get some guys, but you're either going to either have to, A, overpay them, which you don't want to do. You don't want to overpay players. That just puts you back in the cycle that you're just trying to get out of salary cap hell. So you want to have, you know, a couple guys who can, you know, make the Miami Dolphins situation not look as bad. And You know, if you have Xavien Howard and Jalen Ramsey as your number one and number two cornerbacks, you know, free agents might look at that and say, you know what, I know they were bad, but damn, they got Ramsey and Howard. That's a pretty good secondary. They're going to have three picks in round one. They'll probably get a franchise quarterback at the top of the draft. You know, they're starting to turn it around then down there in Miami. Maybe it makes it more attractive. It makes it more of an attractive situation. Now, once again, I know it's just one guy, but it's a pretty big name guy. Jalen Ramsey can play. For all of the times he runs his mouth off the field, he puts his foot in his mouth, he may say stuff that makes him come off acting like a jerk. You know, Ramsey can play. When it comes time to play, Ramsey can play. So if you're the Dolphins, again, you have three first-round picks. There's no sure things in round one of the NFL draft, just like there's no sure things in any round of the NFL draft. If Miami had a part with a first and a fourth, a first and a third, mind you, they have two third-round picks too, something like that, you know, it's worth considering because rebuilding this thing, they're going to need superstar players. And you know, you can't just depend on the draft for superstar players because you don't know what you're getting in the draft. And you're hoping for the best. And the more obvious early round picks you have, your odds improve. But adding someone like Ramsey, I'm totally not against. I'm really not against it. It just has to be the right trade. And he's got to be on board. So that's why the two things, I'm not parting with two number one picks for him. If they can get him for first or and a third or first and a fourth, something like that, cool, great. And Ramsey, if I'm the Dolphins, to even consider anything, they're going to have to talk to his agent and him to make sure, look, it is what it is down here in Miami. It's a rebuilding team. This year, the next, you know, 13 games for him it would be if they were to trade for him probably. You know, it's pretty much a lost season. But heading into 2020, we expect to be competitive again. And we need you on board with this. We can't have you mouthing off. We can't have you causing trouble for the rest of this year. So, you know, he's got to be on board. And he's going to have to want to sign a long-term extension probably now. Just otherwise, you can't do this trade. Because you're just parting with too many picks here for a rental. And that makes no sense. So I'm not totally against it. Now look, would I go crazy trying to get Ramsey? No, not at all. Because if you're the Dolphins, you don't need him. You don't really need him. I just think it's nice because you need to start bringing, you know, quality chips to your side of the table as you rebuild this thing down in Miami. And Ramsey's one of those guys. And another thing, which I think, you know, this Miami Dolphins team has lost since it has parted ways with Jarvis Landry over a year ago. This team needs a guy like Ramsey, a guy who's going to, you know, again, on the field, he can play and who can bring the piss and vinegar to this roster, who's going to show up each week and who's got a little bit of arrogance to him, a little bit of cockiness to him. A little bit of that stuff ain't bad. You need that as a player. You need that as a team almost. You need a guy who's going to rally the troops each week on the field, whether it's on offense or defense. And someone like Ramsey with his attitude, you know, a little bit of swagger, ain't the worst thing in the world because that's what this team is going to need at some point. So, again, I wouldn't go crazy for Ramsey here. I'm not going to, you know, part with the farm. But with three first-round picks, you know they're not going to hit on all three of those first-round picks. You know. You just know. Miami's going to whiff on at least one of them and maybe even two of those guys. To get a sure thing, not the worst thing in the world. Look, if they parted with a first and a third or a first and a fourth, you still have two first-round picks, two second-round picks, at least one third-round pick, maybe, probably depending on what the trade is, maybe two. You're still going to have two first-round picks next year, two second-round. There's plenty of picks. Parting with one for a sure thing isn't the worst idea. We'll see where it goes. Again, it might be nothing. It might be. All Armando Salguero reported was that Jacksonville called Miami. And it might have ended in a phone call for all we know. But to speculate a little, because that's what we do here on this podcast, you have to speculate a little. I don't think it's the worst idea, all depending on, you know, what the compensation would be for trade and if Ramsey's on board. So that was worth mentioning there. The other big news from Thursday, the Miami Dolphins claimed Taco Charlton from the Dallas Cowboys. He was let go by the Dallas Cowboys, former first-round pick, 28th overall from the 2017 draft. Now, the interesting tidbit here is, the Miami Dolphins almost took Taco Charlton in round one themselves in 2017. Instead, they went with Charles Harris. Charles Harris has been a bust. Taco Charlton's been a bust. So if Miami took him in 2017, nothing would be different. Taco Charlton has 46 career tackles, 4 sacks, one forced fumble, one fumble recovery, not good enough for a first-round pick. It's not. In 2017, he played in all 16 games and had 3 sacks. In 2018, he played in 11 games. 7 of them he started, only had 1 sack. And so far in 2019, he hasn't played at all. The guy is an utter disappointment. And the interesting thing here is the Cowboys let him go on Thursday, or I guess on Wednesday, and he was claimed on Thursday. Since he's been let go, the Cowboys, and I'm talking about the big shots, I'm talking Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, have bad-mouthed Taco Charlton up one side and down another. They are happy to see him go. They do not like him. And, you know, they probably feel burned because you take a guy in round one and you want some production from the guy. And they got literally no production from the guy. So they are bad-mouthing him to the press. Like, I mean, usually, you know, unless the guy is just a malcontent, a jerk, a clown, or, you know, not trying, you know, once you let a guy go, you don't really bad-mouth him. And Taco Charlton, you know, just didn't live up to the hype, didn't live up to a first-round pick status. The Cowboys are tearing him apart. And Jerry Jones, just paraphrasing here, Jerry Jones said something to the effect of, you know, you see him in training camp, you see him in practice, you know, he's out there trying to make a play. After he gets stopped, after he does not get to the quarterback, it's like the kid just quits. He doesn't try anymore. He just gives up, and you see it throughout the rest of practice where he has no motivation, and he just sort of stops trying. So, pretty much saying that Taco Charlton's mentally weak and that he doesn't try to fight through things and that he doesn't give max effort sort of after he's been beaten, you know, a few times in practice, he just stops trying. Stephen Jones, he had some harsh words for him as well, said pretty much some similar stuff as well. So, interesting to see the Cowboys sort of, you know, badmouth the guy as he's leaving town out the door. It's been reported a few places that Taco's going to play this week against his former team. He's probably not. Brian Flores, when he met with the media on Friday, said, you know, sure, we'd like Taco to play. I'm sure Taco wants to play. But it's just unrealistic when you claim a guy on a Thursday to have him up and ready to play by Sunday. But again, we're talking about the Miami Dolphins, who have literally zero talent on their defensive line. So maybe they could suit him up. But I don't think we'll see him play Sunday against the Cowboys. I think he'll be inactive this week. Crazier things have happened, but I think he'll really just be inactive this week. But Taco Charlton, you know, low risk, high reward signing for the Dolphins. Just like when the Dolphins signed Robert Kimdichie, who, by the way, is still massively out of shape. And, you know, he will be let go here in the coming weeks and months. You know, it's a low-risk, high-reward signing here. You take a flyer on a guy who, you know, has all the talent in the world. The guy, you know, he looks like, when you see him on the field, the second coming of Deion Jordan, you know, the former Miami Dolphins pick in round one. He's 6'6", 270. He's got the size. He's got the length. He's got the speed. It's just a matter of can he put it all together and become a football player. Because right now, through two seasons, Taco Charlton has not become a football player. And it's not all about the sacks. If this guy, you know, in a 3-4 can be one of those guys to sort of set the edge and help stop the run and sort of just fill that need, that would be great. And that would be outstanding. But, you know, so far, his time in the NFL through two seasons, he hasn't been able to do much of anything. So I'm not expecting much here. This might just be sort of a, you know, he gets a tryout for 2019, and if he doesn't improve his play, show a good positive attitude, up his effort and his intensity, he'll probably be gone after this year because I think Miami's only on the hook for like $3 million, which is next to nothing in this league. So Taco Charlton, you know, once again, he's going to have an opportunity, and that's all you can ask in this league is to have an opportunity. It sounds like he squandered his time with the Cowboys, and now he's got a second chance in Miami. Lord knows he'll get enough playing time because it's not like he's playing behind the steel curtain here. He's got a bunch of guys in front of him who literally can't play. So he should be on the field rather quickly in the coming weeks. And he should be on the field a significant amount of snaps. So, you know, hope for the best here. Keep your fingers crossed, Dolphins fans, that Taco Charlton, you know, maybe the light bulb goes off, a change of scenery helps, and he becomes a player. Because the Miami Dolphins, as we keep saying, need as many players as possible. It was also reported on Thursday, head coach Brian Flores has changed his mind, and Josh Rosen will be the starting quarterback Sunday against the Cowboys. And I know, you know, for the majority of Miami Dolphins fans, this makes you all warm and fuzzy inside, makes you happy and giddy. You know, and I get it. I do get it that, you know, if you're going to lose, you might as well lose with Rose and let's see what the kids got. And that makes sense. I totally understand that. And, you know, again, though, if you're expecting the world here, if you're expecting drastic changes to the offense, if you think this offense is going to go, you know, from scoring, you know, pretty much no points against the Patriots and only one touchdown here against the Ravens, all of a sudden the offense is going to start putting up, you know, 14, 17, 20 points. Not going to happen, folks. If you think this offense is going to start passing for like 250, 300 yards a game, not going to happen, folks. If you think Josh Rosen's, you know, not going to make bad interceptions, it's not going to happen, folks. Josh Rosen's going to struggle, much like Ryan Fitzpatrick did. Maybe he struggles a little bit less. Maybe he turns it over a little bit less. Maybe the offense gets a few more yards. But the difference is going to be marginal. It really will be marginal at the end of the day. He's, you know, this offensive line is not going to be good this year. And as I've been saying, you can put Tom Brady behind that offensive line. They will struggle. And it's, I don't care who's the quarterback, Fitzpatrick or Rosen. Fitzpatrick, you know, he's been bad through two games. But I don't care who the quarterback is, they would have been bad. And I think after the Patriots game, he's sort of taken a little bit too much of the abuse here. Yes, two interceptions, went for a pick six. The second one really wasn't his fault. You can pin that all on Kalen Ballage. So I'm not going to jump down Fitzpatrick's back on that. Again, though, there's nobody around him. The wide receivers stink. The offensive line stinks. The running backs stink. The tight ends are, you know, okay on their best day. No quarterback will have success. And that will continue here for Josh Rosen. The Dolphins are going to be in for another long Sunday this week against the Cowboys. I think they're going to get, you know, probably shut out again, honestly. I can't see them. The Cowboys, in my opinion right now, are one of the four best teams in the NFL. You got Kansas City. You got the Patriots. You got the Cowboys at three and probably the Rams at four. Those are the four best teams in the NFL right now, and I don't even think it's close. And I think the Cowboys are just going to lay a whooping on the Dolphins. And I think the Dolphins, their first road game of the year, Josh Rosen's first start, I don't see how they're going to score any points this week. You know, maybe they get a touchdown late, or maybe they get one early, but that's all they get. Maybe they kick a couple field goals if they're lucky, but they'll probably be long ones. I don't see how they're going to move the ball. I can't. And it's going to be that way for most of the games this year. I don't see how they're going to move the ball at all. But Rosen gets his shot. Hope for the best. Again, Josh Rosen can play lights out for the next 13 games. It means nothing. The Miami Dolphins are going to draft a quarterback at the top of the 2020 draft. That quarterback will be their future. That quarterback will be the starting quarterback in 2020. Period. End of story. I do not care what Josh Rosen does. I mean, I care because I like the kid. I'm rooting for the kid. I think he's gotten a raw deal since he came out of UCLA. I hope he does well and all the best for him. But, you know, he's got no chance of being the answer long-term starting quarterback in Miami. There's almost nothing he can do on the field these next 13 games to have him be the answer quarterback for the Dolphins. And some will say, well, that's not fair. Well, what if this? What if that? The what ifs you can throw out the window. Again, he has zero help around him right now. The offensive line he has in front of him now in Miami is worse than the one he had in Arizona last year. The wide receivers he has that he will be throwing to in Miami are worse than the ones in Arizona last year. Running backs, worse. Tight ends, eh, who cares? Nothing special. He has zero help around him. There's no chance he will, you know, light a spark here in offense or have a few great games and win some. There's nothing he can do. The Miami Dolphins are taking quarterback in 2020. Hopefully, it's a quarterback from Alabama named Tua. But if it's not, because if by some dumb chance they, you know, win one game and there's a team that does go 0-16, which is possible, folks, let me tell you right now, the Miami Dolphins, you know, the quest, let's just say, to get the number one overall pick in the draft is far from a lock. You look at the schedule for the Jets, and I know the Jets have to play the Dolphins. I get it. So somebody's got to win. The Jets' schedule is just, it's brutal. You know, they're only going to win one or two games this year probably, maybe three tops. Now, you're hoping that those out of those three wins maybe, two of them are against Miami because you need Miami to lose to get the number one overall pick. If they're not, if Miami does have a day or 2 days where they actually, you know, compete and win, and it is against the Jets, guess what? The Jets are going to be picking higher than Miami. And I don't care if they got Sam Darnold or not, they're taking the quarterback from Alabama named Tua, number one. And number two, if they don't want him, which, trust me, they want him. If they don't, they will trade that pick to one of 31 other teams to make sure Miami does not get him. They will block the Dolphins from getting them. That's number one. A team like Cincinnati, again, I know Miami has to play Cincinnati. Cincinnati, you know, has every bit of chance to go 0-16 as well. And if Miami were to get their only win, you know, late in December against Cincinnati, guess what? If Cincinnati's picking one, they're taking Tua. Period. End of story. You have a team like the Giants. Again, Miami has to play the Giants. A team that's just as miserable as Miami. You know, their team is only going to win two or three games. There's about four teams this year in the NFL who all might only win, you know, four games or less. It's that bad. The NFL this year is about the haves and the have-mores. And the Miami Dolphins are not the only miserable team. Yes, on the scoreboard, you see Miami lose 59-10. You see Miami lose 43-zip. And you see a team like Cincinnati sort of hang tight with Seattle. So what? They both lost at the end of the day. Whether they lose by 2 or lose by 200, it doesn't matter. And, you know, Cincinnati is just as bad as Miami is. The Jets, you know, their schedule coming up, Patriots, Cowboys, Eagles, Patriots, they're not going to win. And, you know, their first shot of a win this year is against Miami. And if Miami at home were to sneak out a win, guess what? The Jets control the destiny for the number one overall pick. The Jets are in the driver's seat. And don't think they don't know that. Because when you're like 1-7 or 0-6 or 0-7, you know, your season's over. You're not going to the playoffs. What are you looking at? You're looking at the draft. You're looking at the future. Don't think the Jets don't know that. Don't think the Giants don't know that. Don't think Cincinnati doesn't know that. Don't think maybe Washington doesn't know that. If Miami were to ever sneak out a win against one of these teams, and I mean, I'm telling you right now, a win against one of those teams is almost like two. Because if you end up tied with them, they own the tiebreaker because you beat them. So I'm telling you, the first overall pick's not a sure thing. There are about four or five teams that are dreadful this year in the NFL. And I mean dreadful, who are not going to win more than, you know, three or four games. It's just not going to happen. And I think the Dolphins, out of all those teams that are dreadful, are the most dreadful. Don't get me wrong. I think they're going to lose the most, by the most points. But, you know, if they do sneak up on a team one of these weeks, if by some, you know, look, we saw this Dolphins team last year beat the Jets 7-0, where the only touchdown came on a Jerome Baker interception. If that type of game happens this year where the offense gives you 0 points, but somehow you score on defense and find a way to win, you know, it's no sure thing that the Dolphins are picking number one. And if any one of these other teams has the number one pick, you're not getting Tua. You could offer them every first round. You could offer them 5 first round picks. You're 3 this year and you're 2 next year. They're not trading the pick. They're going to take the player because the player is more valuable than the pick. So it's no sure thing here that Miami is picking number one. I mean, it looks likely, but it's no sure thing. So I'm just saying, you know, just, you know, as you watch these games, you know, hope some of these teams start to get a win. Hope some of these teams get a fluky win here. Hope Cincinnati finds a way this week to beat the Bills. Get them with one win on the board. Hope a team like the Jets, it ain't going to happen, but, you know, that they somehow find a way to get a win on the board. Same thing with Washington. Same thing with the Giants. Because there are a bunch of dreadful teams that are really going to struggle to win games this year. Now, the good thing is they all have to play each other. Washington has to play the Giants. Miami plays all these teams this year. Same with the Jets. So somebody has to win. But, you know, it's no sure thing. That's all I'm saying. The only way it's a sure thing is for Miami to go 0-16, which leads me to my next topic. You know, there's a lot of fans out there who still aren't on board with the quote-unquote tanking. And again, the term tanking you can replace with rebuilding, or you can replace it with any term you want. But it's time at 0-2, being outscored, what is it, like 102-10 or whatever that is, I don't even know. You know, embrace the tank, folks. Embrace it. If you're a fan of the Dolphins, you're not going to the playoffs this year. You're already a laughingstock. You're already the butt of the joke. You might as well just hope for the worst and that this goes as bad can be, because the only thing to look forward to right now, if you're a fan of the Dolphins, is the draft, is free agency, and, you know, all the money they have to spend in free agency and all the picks they have in the draft, because that's your future. Winning 2 or 3 games this year and, you know, picking 2nd or 3rd or 4th ain't good. In fact, it does. That is like the worst case scenario. The only thing to root for watching games this year for the Miami Dolphins is you better hope they end this season in 13 or 14 more weeks with the number one overall pick. Is anything less is a failure. Because if you don't get the stud quarterback from Alabama, then you're just screwed. And I know people say, well, you can get a quarterback anywhere. Pat Mahomes was picked 10th, and this guy was picked in the 2nd round. And somebody took Russell Wilson there. That's great, and that's all well and good. But, you know, that's a... That At least with Tua, you're getting the best quarterback in the class this year. Someone who's, you know, rated out so highly. You know, he gets comparisons to that, you know, sort of Elway, Manning, Luck group there. You know, he's on that level. And, you know, you don't want to miss out on that. So, you know, it's time to embrace the tank. You know, I know for a lot of fans, they just can't stomach it. They want to see their team on Sunday, whether it's in person or on TV, and they can't, you know, root for them to lose. You don't have to root for them to lose. They're just going to lose on their own. Just, you know, don't get yourself worked up over meaningless stuff. I know so many people last Sunday were worked up. Oh, my God. How is Brian Flores going to start Ryan Fitzpatrick in week three? Who cares? Who cares? Josh Rosen was going to start this year. Happens to be week three now. If it wasn't until week seven, who cares? The team's still not going to win. The offense still isn't going to move. And they're still going to look embarrassingly bad every week. It's like, why get mad or this outrage? Or it's like, arr! It's like everyone wants to be a host on ESPN's First Take where they're just yelling and screaming about something that means nothing. It means literally nothing. So don't get worked up watching the game this year. Just embrace what it is. This year, you know, in many ways is needed for the Dolphins, where they just cleared out the cap and they stockpiled a ton of draft picks for this year and next year. And, you know, they're going to move forward with this plan. And you might not like the plan. You might not agree with the plan. But don't get worked. They're not going to win, folks. They're not going to. Maybe they win one. Maybe they win two. You know, and they'll probably screw up the top of the draft because they'll probably win one too many. And some other team will slide in front of them. That's possible. But just embrace what it is. And, you know, calm down. Watch the games. You know, and, you know, on Sundays this year, you know what? Don't go through your Sunday traditions. I know some people put on my Dan Marino jersey every Sunday. And we all sit on the couch in a certain order. And we all get the same food. We watch a Dolphins game. Well, you know, don't. It doesn't matter this year. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, watch the games and just relax. Because it's just going to be a lot of losing. And don't get your heart broken every Sunday. And Lord knows, don't get worked up every Sunday about every little move that Brian Flores makes. Because it literally does not matter. Nothing matters this year. So there's that. And I guess I'll close the show on this topic. I guess we should talk about it. You know, the national media, there's some folks, whether it's Louis Riddick or Mike Greenberg, or you're seeing this one, you're seeing that one, who want the NFL to investigate the Dolphins for tanking. And I can't believe they're tanking. Disrespectful to the league. You got Jason Cole, Chris Mortensen. They're outraged. Everyone's outraged. National media, tanking. I can't believe they're doing this. You know, these are a few things here. And I'm gonna give it. And I'm gonna give my thoughts on both sides of the coin here. So I'm gonna play a little bit of. I'll tell you what I think, and then I'll tell you the opposing argument here, because the opposing argument does carry a little bit of weight. And I think too many fans of the Dolphins are sort of just looking over this like they can't do nothing, not any boo boo. Well, no, they can do something in the league if they want. Number one, you know, the Miami Dolphins are in a rebuilding year, so it's tough to knock them for, like, running off guys like Gore, who's older than dirt, Wake, who's older than dirt, Amendola, who's older than dirt, Tannehill, who's been a failure. It's tough to knock them for running off those veterans. It really is. So you can't knock the Dolphins for that. And, you know, you're going to knock the Dolphins for trading Tunsil and Fitzpatrick. I kind of get that. But you can't say they're tanking because of what they got in return in those trades. Trading Tunsil, who, you know, it's great. You see the national media. One day they're saying Tunsil's overrated, Houston overpaid. And then 3 days later, the same guy's going, how can Miami do that? They're tanking. Well, if Tunsil's overrated and they got two first-round picks and a second-round pick for him, then how is that tanking? It's either a great move or it's not. So you can't have it both ways there. The Minka one, that's unique because, you know, the guy was an arrogant little prick, and he clearly didn't want to be here. And, you know, a guy who's only got 18 games in the league, you know, voicing his displeasure saying, get me out of here. It's like, who the hell are you? Been here for 18 games. You've done nothing in this league. And, you know, they did get a first-round pick in return. You might not agree with it. But to say, you know, the league needs to investigate them because they're tanking, the Miami Dolphins can run the franchise literally any way they want, within reason. Within reason. Now, I have been saying in previous weeks, I think they took it too far. I understand guys like Nate Orchard, Tank Carradine, Vincent Taylor. You know, they're not long-term answers in Miami, so if you want to let them go, well, again, you can't get worked up over it. But, you know, you want to, I mean, them being on the roster, you know, wasn't going to help them win any more games this year, but at least it might make you look respectable. The problem with the Dolphins is, and here's the other side of the coin. It's not that they're losing each week. It's not that they traded Tunsil. Not that they traded Fitzpatrick. That's not why people think they're tanking. The people think they're tanking is because you can lose, but you can't lose 59-10. You can't lose 43-0. You can't be in non-competitive games. That's where the perception, and perception is reality in this world a lot of times. The perception is you're not trying, you don't care, and you're losing on purpose. If the Dolphins lost 21-10 and 28-24, nobody would say they're tanking. They're saying, wow, that team's young. It doesn't have any players. They're probably not going to win much, but they're in competitive games. And if you're the other side of the coin, think about this for a second. Number one, the NFL has a lot of people they have to answer to. A lot. In that, they sign these billion-dollar TV contracts. And, with the TV contracts, it's expected you're getting competitive games. So you think Fox or CBS or ESPN wants to air a Miami Dolphins game this year? They don't. You know why they don't? Because it's a non-competitive game. So if you don't think the TV networks are going to the league office saying, hey, what the hell's going on here? This ain't what we paid for. We're paying for competitive games with every team. And it's not right. We're not getting our money's worth. And this is a load of crap. So now you got the NFL league office hearing from the TV networks. Then you got the players union out there saying, well, not necessarily the union, but you got, former players saying, it's not fair to the players on the Miami Dolphins out there. These guys don't belong in the league. They're not good enough. They wouldn't be on any other team if it was not for the Dolphins. And, somebody might get hurt out there because they don't belong out there. And having guys get hurt or having guys who are just, overmatched, you're shortening the careers of these players. You could, I don't want to say a guy's name. Who was a good example, maybe? Let's say Jamal Wiltz. Jamal Wiltz, if it's not for the Dolphins, he's probably not at any other NFL team. And Jamal Wiltz this year is going to play in probably every Miami Dolphins game. And, he'll get burned a lot. And while he's getting burned, he's putting bad film on tape. So when the Miami Dolphins next year, make, 10 picks in a draft and they sign about 8 or 9 free agents and Wiltz is on the street, every other team's going to take the tape of Wiltz in Miami, put it in there and go, this guy stinks. We don't want him. So it's almost not fair for someone like Wiltz should be on a practice squad, should be working his way up through the ranks, and then, he might get a fair shot with another team. Now you have shortened his NFL career because his only film is that he stinks and he can't play. So there's that. So, I understand where, and plus, then you got the fans. If you bought tickets to a Miami Dolphins game, let's say in Miami, you're a season ticket holder or you bought a package for a few games, you're getting ripped off this year because it's a non-competitive team. If you're a Miami Dolphins fan or just even a Cowboys, let's say a Cowboys fan this week, you're looking at the schedule. Hey, Miami only comes here once every 7 years or something like that. I want to see the Cowboys versus Miami. It's like holding tickets to a preseason game. It's like, this game stinks. You might see Prescott, Zeke Elliott, for maybe a half, maybe, a little bit into the third quarter. Then they're probably going to yank him because the score is going to be, a blowout. And it's like, you're screwing over the fans, you're screwing over the network, you're screwing over the players. Is it a crazy thought the league might step in here and do something? I don't think they will, but it's not the craziest thought to think that they might. Because, again, the problem's not the losing. The problem is how they're losing. And everyone says, well, the Browns went 1-31. And, the league didn't care. The Browns went 1-31. Look at the scores of those games. And I'm just going to read off. This is the 2016 Browns. They lost 29-10. They lost 25-20. They lost 30-24 in overtime. They lost 31-20. They lost 33-13. They lost 28-26. That's through week 6. Every game's been competitive. They lost 31-17. They lost 31-28. Another 3-point game. They lost 35-10, 28-7, 24-9, 27-13. Oh, wait, they lost 23-10. The final game, week 17, they lost 27-24 in overtime. They were competitive in every game. They took two teams to overtime, and they had some games they lost by 3. They had some games where they lost by 2. They had one game where they lost by 5. They were competitive every week. The Browns didn't tank. They just didn't win. So when people say, well, the Browns tanked, I keep telling you people, the Browns never tanked. You want to go to the 2017 Browns? Let's go to the 2017 Browns. Read off their scores. Hold on. That's a team that lost them all. They lost 21-18, 3 points. 24-10, 14 points. 31-28, 17-14. 19-12 in overtime. 19-7, 30-16, 19-10, 27-21 in overtime, 28-24. They were competitive in every game. The Browns didn't tank. Again, the Browns tried a new model. They tried this Moneyball baseball model where we're going to value certain, you know, traits and statistics over other statistics that hasn't been seen before in football. The Browns tried to win. They just came up short in every game except for one over two seasons. And then you got people say, well, the Colts did suck for Luck. How come the league didn't get pissed there? Again, the Colts had Peyton Manning as their starting quarterback that year. And, you know, they lost because Peyton Manning got hurt and missed the entire season. The rest of the roster was good. I mean, it was good. And it's like you can't get mad at them for, you know, for having one rough year. They didn't try to lose on purpose. That's the thing. People think, oh, they were trying to lose on purpose. No, they didn't. They lost because Peyton Manning went down. And it was not suck for luck. That year, you know, the suck for luck thing sort of took on, you know, a thing of its own. But it's not, you know, it was way overblown. The Colts did not. I'm trying to, let me just keep on calling the Colts. The year they had the number one pick. Let's see here. Again, it's not the losing, it's the scores of the games. The Colts, you know, 23-20, 24-17, 28-24, 27-17, 27-10, 27-19, 31-24, 24-10, 19-13. They were in, you know, with the exception of one bad loss against the Saints, they were in every game. They were in every game, they were competitive, and they tried. So, you know, that's the problem with the Dolphins is, they're getting their doors blown off, and that's why the media thinks they're tanking. And the perception is that when, and if you're a fan of the Dolphins or you're trying to say, well, these other teams tank too, you know, they were competitive. They were almost won games. They should have won games. They came close to winning games. And you know, then you got the other ones, the Raiders. Well, the Raiders last year in 2018 traded Mack, and they traded Amari Cooper. And, you know, nobody said nothing there. Again, you want to compare the Raiders last year? They lost 20-19, 28-20. Lost. They won a game in overtime, 45-42. They lost game 20-6. They lost a game 40-33. They lost. I mean, they were again competitive, and they won four games. So you know you can't. So you can't, as a fan of the Dolphins, you can't point to the Browns, you can't point to the Colts, you can't point to the Raiders and say, well, they did it too, so leave us alone. Don't hurt my feelings. Leave us alone. You can't do it because it's not a fair comparison. Those teams did not strip their rosters down to nothing. The Colts lost one player, and they lost a lot of games because he was the most important player to the team. The Browns, you know, were in literally every game. And they could have very easily, instead of being 1-31, you know, they could have been 16-16 very easily. They were in that many games. They just, you know, came up short a lot of times. You look at a team like the Raiders last year, you know, they found a way to win four games. And they were in many others. And their roster still had Derek Carr. They still had a competent offensive line. They still had weapons. They were still okay. You know, the Dolphins, you know, have an XFL, AAF type roster. And that's what it is. And it's not the same. The Dolphins, you can make the case the Dolphins are tanking. Again, I don't have a problem with it. I'm all for it. Embrace the tank. That's my new saying. Embrace the tank. I'm all for it. But you can't get mad at people who say the Dolphins are tanking and the league needs to take a look at this. Because the league, I mean, they could take a look at this. And, you know, I wouldn't blame them if they did. I don't think they will. I think they sort of understand what Miami's doing. It's a rebuild and they're taking this approach. I don't think the league will step in. And if the Miami Dolphins want, you know, and the fans want, you know, everyone to back off, all you need is for Miami to be in a couple games. You don't have to win them. You know, lose a game 21-10. Lose a game 27-24. Lose a game 24-13. You know, people shut up then. The problem is you can't lose by 40 and 50 every week because it looks like, you know, you put together this roster on purpose to lose, which is probably what they did, but they'll never admit it. But that's why people are so outraged, and that's why people are so mad in the national media. You're Lewis Riddick, Jason Coles, Chris Mortensen, you know, all those types. That's why they're so mad. because they're non-competitive games. Those other teams might have lost and all that stuff, but they were in competitive games, and, you know, they were trying to win. Those teams weren't trying to lose. You know, even the Colts, a suck for luck. Oh, my God. They won two games late that year. You know, you can say what you want about the Colts. They were trying to win games. They just couldn't. Same thing with the Browns. They were trying to win games. They just couldn't. This Dolphins team, you know, they can't win a game. I mean, even on their best day, I think it's going to be next to impossible. The only way they get a win is if another team, you know, really shits the bed one week. I mean, really shits the bed, where their offense is even more inept than Miami's. But, so, you know, when you see the national media with this outrage, you can't point to other teams in past seasons because it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. And I think that's where a lot of fans are wrong, and you need to look at the full picture. Take a deep breath, take a step back, and look at the full picture and say, you know what? They may have a point. We're not like the Browns. We're not like the Colts. This is a different situation, and in this situation, I can see why, you know, fans are outraged. I can see why the media is outraged. I sort of get it. I mean, I don't have a problem with it because I don't think the league can do anything. But and just remember one thing with the league. Just because, you know, the league can do whatever the hell it wants. They make up the rules as it goes along. You know, just because there's no, like, written rule that says a team has to win or a team, you know, has to have a competitive team, just because it's not written down doesn't mean the league can't take action any way it wants. We see this in all leagues, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. These leagues make up the rules as they go along. So, you know, don't say that the NFL can't step in and do something. You say, I don't think they would, but they could. I mean, they absolutely could, but you can't say they can't because you know what? They sure as hell can. I just don't think they will. So just be careful how you word things here because, you know, it might come back to bite you in the ass. I don't think the NFL will take any action, but don't say they can't because they surely can. And all these leagues make up the rules as they go along. So that's all for today's show. Thank you all for listening. Everyone have a great weekend. We got a bunch of new articles and a bunch of new podcasts up on DolphinsTalk.com. As always, follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and rumors and tidbits. And just to get my thoughts as sort of news breaks and whatnot. We'll be back Sunday. Tom, you know, I think he's feeling better. He'll do a countdown to kickoff that will drop Sunday morning prior to the Cowboys game. And, of course, after the game, we'll have another post-game wrap-up show to sort of break down whatever happens in Dallas this week. So everyone have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.